Friday, September 11th, 2020, on Connecticut Today, we took a look back at the attacks in New York City, the World Trade Center in Pennsylvania, and in Washington 19 years ago on September 11th of 2001. We spoke to a local first responder who made his way down to Ground Zero on a moment's notice, and he talked about his experience at that site. Welcome back an old friend here to WICC 600 who actually joined me years ago doing some high school football on this station, retired firefighter from North Haven and Hamden, Kurt Andrews is with us. Kurt, how are you, my friend?
Paul, how are you? I'm fine, thank you.
I'm good, and Kurt, I know this might be hard to talk about, but you know, you wrote such a very moving piece that I noticed on Facebook a few days ago, talking about what it was like on 9/11. I can remember, Kurt, I was working at another radio station co-hosting a morning show, and looking up as my host, we were in different studios, he pointed to the TV and said, look, right as our morning show was ended, and I just stood there slack-jawed. And when I saw the second plane, I said, okay, this is not an errant pilot. This is a terrorist attack. Take me through your day and take my listeners through your day and your reaction and how you guys decided to literally race down to New York City as firefighters.
Well, I was just like everybody else. It was a normal day. And we have six children, as you know, and our baby was born in July of 2001. And so all the other kids were off to school, and my wife was tending to the baby in our bedroom, and I was working from home. And about quarter of nine or thereabouts, my mother-in-law called us from South Carolina and said, are you watching TV? And I said, no, we're, you know, doing whatever. And she said, turn it on. And as we did that, the second plane hit. And I was slack-jawed, as you were, and as soon as the second plane hit, my pager went off, calling us in to stand by at our firehouses, because, you know, as for first responders, you know, we're 90 miles from New York City, but, you know, you start seeing these planes that are going into buildings and stuff, you know, what's next? How many are there out there? So nobody knew. And so we all gathered at the firehouse and had a couple of routine calls. And in between, we're sitting there just like everybody else watching TV. And we had a little brush fire across the street. And as I was backing the engine back in, I noticed that the chief was there. And he said, we've been asked to send a crew of 20. So we need people to volunteer. I'm not going to appoint people because this is a dangerous thing. But we're leaving in 45 minutes. I said, I'm in. Came home, and he said, you know, pack for 2 weeks. So came home, and my wife was sitting there actually nursing the baby and, you know, in tears. And she said, I don't feel good about this. And I said, sweetheart, we're trained to do this, and, you know, they need our help, so I got to do it. And just grabbing clothes and stuff, we stopped at Stop and Shop and got some provisions and stuff, and there we go, our little caravan of five vehicles. And I'll tell you, we're driving down 95 in Bridgeport, and we could see the smoke. But, you know, at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the other thing that was stark was there was nobody else on I-95 that day. And, of course, you remember the sky was absolutely crystal blue. It was gorgeous. And we got down to the George Washington Bridge, and we were listening to another radio station at the time, and they were doing traffic reports and saying that the bridge was closed, that they were checking every vehicle going across it. And so we got off at the 3rd Avenue exit there, and we got a police escort from there in the Bronx down to City Hall. We went through Hell's Kitchen and, you know, the whole nine yards down Broadway at 70 miles an hour.
Wow.
And I remember, you know, I'm driving my personal vehicle with lights and stuff on it, and I remember coming up to intersections and cops at either corner going out in the middle of the street and holding pedestrians and other traffic, and we're just flying. I didn't touch the brakes until we hit City Hall. and literally skidded to a stop on the front lawn at City Hall, got our gear, and we were walking down Broadway, and I'll never forget, there was a truck there. I think it's a P.C. Richard and Son that's right there, and there was a box truck there, and it was from Garrity Flashlight Company from Madison, and the owner was actually handing out flashlights to all of us as we were going
wow.
by. Pretty cool. Couple of Madison guy, all the debris and the dust and stuff that we were breathing in, it was up to our knees. And what 7-8 blocks away, and as we're walking down Broadway, I look over to the right just as building number 7 collapsed. And that one, I was told had held the heating fuel in the basement for all of the World Trade Center buildings. So that then all caught on fire, and it was, you know, that was ugly. But
Kurt, did you have any idea, were you briefed at all as to, you just mentioned heating oil, were you briefed at all on the building's construction or what you would encounter, what would be in that dust, any sort of fiberglass or any sort of fireproofing that may have been deleterious to your health or not?
No, not a thing. It was, we were there, just like, and I used the term, Paul, we were blessed. Everybody in the country, nay, the world, really wanted to be there to help. And we were blessed with the opportunity to be there. And, I know it sounds whacked, but, everybody wanted to help. And so we were literally up to our knees in all this dust and everything. Didn't even have any masks or anything when we first got there. And literally when I turned on Liberty Street, the South Tower was 30 feet tall. Right there we were billeted at 10 House, which is the Firehouse 10 on Liberty Street there, which is still there. And there was no power, there was no water, running water or anything. And that was where we were headquartered for our stay down there.
So who do you take in that kind of a situation, Kurt? Who are you looking for? An NYFD official? Where do you go? Do you make your own choices for your instinct, or were there NYFD folks knowing that all this help was coming in?
Here's the funny thing. So our deputy chief was our commander, if you will, and he was looking for that guidance. And so we, stayed there at 10 House until we got our orders and such. But I'll never forget about 9:30, 10 o'clock that night, all of a sudden you start seeing all of these white helmets, FDNY, and there were probably 6 or 8 of them. And that was the complete command staff of the FDNY that had survived. And they were literally getting together at right there on Liberty Street trying to determine, A, who's in charge and what are we going to do going forward. Keep in mind that the chief of department, Cianci, was killed and the commissioner was killed, or missing at that point. And it was just
wow.
Startling.
Kurt, hang on. We'll be right back with you. Kurt Andrews is the guest. He made his way down 19 years ago today from the North Haven, Hamden area all the way into New York City, just running down there as many Connecticut firefighters and first responders did. More with Kurt Andrews straight ahead. Traffic and weather together on WICC. He is a retired firefighter now, forever a rock and roll guy, too, currently a lieutenant with the North Haven Fire Police. We continue a few more minutes with my friend Kurt Andrews, who on this day and these days 19 years ago scurried down to Ground Zero with numerous other people from the tri-state area to try and do what he could after the attack in New York City on 9/11. Kurt, so you go to what you could do there, and you wrote on Facebook about going into that pile and hoping to find someone to do what you could do. You did, if I recall what you wrote, you found somebody, right?
Yeah, there was, we had no concept that this thing could, there could be collapses and all the other stuff. I mean, you know, we were just climbing on this pile, and it was, you know, I-beams and concrete and all the other stuff, but and just looking into voids and things with flashlights, and I remember my partner and I looking down, and we could see there was a little baby doll, probably 12 feet down in a void, and I said, look, is that a baby? And he said, it looks like a doll. And next to it was a gym bag, and there were some Post-it notes that were sitting down there, like 12 feet down there. And there was a office chair that was all messed up as well. And I said, you know, we must be in somebody's office here. We just kept looking. And they finally started bringing in some probes that we, with the cameras at the end, that we could put further down in there. And we happened to find a guy that had an I-beam impaled in his arm. And the only way that we could get him out was to amputate his arm. So there was no other victims around. I mean, that's the sad part for me is, you know, well, the happy part is, or the good part is, that these folks were didn't have too much pain. There was a lot of fear, I'm sure, in the beginning. But the end was very quick for these folks, and this poor guy, had to, there's no way that we could get him out without amputating his arm. So that we brought a doctor up and gave him an IV, gave him some morphine, and they amputated his arm, and we took him out. And that was the last person that we saw while we were there, as far as a victim is concerned.
So you answer the call, Kurt. I mean, you must look back on that now 19 years later, and I'm sure most of it is still crystal clear to you. Over the years, what have you thought about that? How have those memories stayed with you?
I was just talking to my cousin. My cousin actually worked in the South Tower. And she was across the street at the World Financial Center for a meeting that day, and thankfully, and unfortunately, she was dodging the folks that were jumping on her way back, you know, walking up the West Side Highway to get home. But she and I were reminiscing that, you know, when we get to like the 7th, 8th of the month, all of a sudden there's a dread. There's just some feeling, Paul. You've known me for a long time. I'm a happy-go-lucky guy, and you know, I'm that's just the way I am. But you know, then we get to this time of year, and there's just a feeling, and you know, it's an empty feeling, because you know, you look at it, and there were thousands and thousands of people that survived and were rescued and got out. But there were 3,000 people that died, and you know, now we've lost another 400 or 500 to illnesses since then, and so you know, there's that sense of that, you know, could we have done any more, or you know, I couldn't have, but you know, that's the feeling. It, you know, it's sadness that all these people lost their lives, and I'm also sad, and the reason that I wanted to talk to you today. It's important for people to remember, and you know, it's important that, you know, for us to know that we are a United States of America, and you know, at this time 19 years ago, we were one, and everybody, you know, we were neighbors, and we loved each other, and we helped each other. I'll give you a quick aside.
Sure.
On our way back, we were eating MREs and cheese sandwiches that the Red Cross gave us for a couple of days, and we were dirty and stinky and hungry as all get out, and we stopped at the New Rochelle Diner on the way back, and because we were a large group and we were stinky, they put us in the back room, and the chief said, whatever you want, just chow down, and we did, and when it time came for the check to come, the waitress said, it's all taken care of. And we said, what are you talking about? And there was a young couple that were sitting in the room there that were in their mid-20s with a kid in a stroller. And the waitress said, they took care of your check. And
wow.
This kid came over, and it must have been $500 or $600. And this kid comes over and he said, "You guys came down from Connecticut to help us?" And we said, "Yeah." And he said, "This is the least that we can do for you guys," which was, you know, I mean, that's cool. So,
yeah,
we need, you know, that's what this country's all about, Paul. And that's why I wanted to talk to you about it today. I still get choked up because I did the best that I could, and unfortunately we couldn't save any more.
Yeah.
But, you know, we need to remember that.
Kurt, thank you. I really appreciate this, Kurt. Thank you so much. And congratulations, I should say, on being a new grandfather. I'm not going to let you go without that. And I will remind you that you're a grandfather when we see each other this fall at basketball games. Kurt Andrews. Thanks, Kurt.
All right, I appreciate it.
Say hi to the family. Kurt Andrews there. Good man. Okay, traffic and weather together right here on WICC.